I'm going to predict something. I'm going to predict that we'll be able to go through the entire hour tonight, 6 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to predict that we're going to make it all the way through. Now, that's a human prediction. I don't know if it will be true, but based on everything I know, based on, you know, what I understand about... you know, our equipment, and there's no storms, and there's nobody trying to destroy this work tonight that I know of, I predict that we're going to be here the entire hour. Listen, there are things that we all look at. We go by what we predict, even in our own equations daily, about being able to go to work, kind of calculating how quickly we can get to work, you know, and save time, shave time, and... be there. Now, we do this constantly on a human scale. A lot of us are going on predicting about our lives and so forth. I assume I'm going to be healthy this next year. I'm going to be doing, you know, into the woods. My left leg is about 95% well now, and I'll be in the woods tomorrow. And so I'm predicting, but I'm planning on simply a human scale. Now, there is a lot of information. I'm reading Ed Dame's the new book on the remote viewer, worldwide renowned remote viewer. And remote viewers are into predicting the future also now. Now, as I'm watching all of this, studying all of this, the Mayan prophecy issues all coming up, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you that prophecy, predicting the future, is a big thing. It is a big business. It is something that many, many are attempting and doing and have done. In the old days, the Celestine prophecies, the Temple of Delphi, even the Mayan prophecies, the New Agers, alienologists, remote viewers, across the board, we're going to look at some of the predictors. And we're going to tell you some things here about confidence in predicting the future. We're dealing this week in a series, Monday through Friday, called Seeing Into the Future. Now, that's the title of a book coming out. And it's going to be a book based on biblical prophetic revelation that gives us concrete, actual human history, glimpses of it, glimpses of the future, even right now. Now, I'm going to say that they're going to be infallible and irrevocable and true, and it's going to occur as the Holy Spirit says it will. Seeing into the future is a theme for the week, the why, the how, who's trying, definitive answers. We've gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tonight, Thursday night, we're going to deal with the prophet Agabus, and about the immediate events. And this is something I'm going to tell you, that just as the Spirit of God can give this incredible, detailed, down to the wire, down to the details of what is going to be happening, let me tell you something. On a huge and global and eternal scale, God, the Holy Spirit, can do that. Now, also, as a believer and in the body of Christ, there is the activity of the Spirit of God in which, well, God gives us pictures and direction dealing with our future. I'm going to say that when it comes to prediction, the proof is in the pudding. Now, listen, I don't know if this lady could have understood. It was in the news today. A lady driving down a street sees a sign telling her not to go forward, the danger sign. You know, the sign that says, don't do this, road out, that kind of thing. But she decided to go around it, drive forward. Sure enough, I saw the picture of it. Utterly unbelievable. Her car in a sinkhole, almost absolutely buried. People had to get her out, save her. I mean, she could have went under and that would have been it. But she did not take the sign seriously. Predictive revelation, these are like signs telling us about the sequence of satanic development, about what God is going to do in the world, about what future human, on a global scale, humanity, and even on, you know, a smaller scale, what humanity is going to do, what's going to happen to humanity. So we want to take a look and see. So as we begin tonight, let me say, first of all, welcome to all those who are listening live, satellite, and internet. Listen, God bless you. Welcome. The prayers have been put up. We're in a supernatural hour, and we trust that God will be working. God will be doing his work as we've prayed for that and have sought the will of God tonight. So it may be a very providential hour for you. And so we look for the Spirit of God to guide and lead and direct. Maybe there'll be a leading of the Spirit of God to say something to somebody in a very detailed and particular way. I'm clearly open to that. So it's about predictions. And I want to bring in Agabus here in a moment. This is an incredible story. Agabus is a prophet in the New Testament, mentioned in the book of Acts in two particular chapters. And the proof is in the pudding on who led him, what he spoke, and what occurred. And it all dealt with the temporary, right there and then, issues. These weren't about the future issues. They were about the immediate issues that involved the church at large and also one individual's life. You know what it tells me? God, on a huge global scale, lays out future events. I'm going to give you about five reasons why. Well, I'm going to go over five reasons of what biblical prophetic... Let me mention them, and I'll go over them in detail later here. Vast. They are vast. They are tested. They are selected. They involve God, Satan, and man. And the fifth thing simply is it deals with... it literally deals with human destiny. And I'm going to tell you that if you're somebody kind of, you know, stocking up on biblical prophecy, really coming to learn it, really coming to read it, really coming to be able to see what's happening in the world with biblically spirit-lit eyes so that we can say what is coming. Listen, you know what the reasons are? Redemptive. Prophetic writings are for redemptive purposes. Check out Romans 16:25. Number two, they are for warning. Number three, they are for us to prepare. And number four, to give us sheer God-given confidence about the events, our life, and our destiny. Prediction is very, big business. Everybody seems to be into it. I mean, even the weatherman, when he's telling us stuff, he's going through the calculations, though. I look at the weather today and see the day that we were going to have and tomorrow and the next day. And we've been having great, incredible weather here. 64 today, 65, 66 tomorrow. Beautiful, sunny, clear skies, clear nights. All the stars are in the sky. You can just see everything. And by God's grace, and I'm predicting, I guess, I'm planning based on what I really perceive will occur. I'll be in the woods tomorrow sometime. Got a number of events occurring tomorrow, let alone coming back here to be with you at 6 o'clock. Hey, welcome to all those who download. Again, to those in Luxembourg, to those in China, in Russia, and in Sweden, and in France. Listen, all over the world, and I just simply say thank you, and send us an email once in a while. Let us know you're listening and where from. It's always a blessing to really get a quick email, and especially in the header, just to simply let us know. It's a good thing. We're glad to be here. We believe it's a providential hour. We believe it's a vital hour. But let's begin with, Agabus. Agabus in the book of Acts, chapter 11. Now, I don't know, listen, if you've got the background of a psychic, a remote viewer, maybe somebody that operates and looks and searches the web bot, and somebody into futurology and looking at the trends. Well, this is about prediction. This is about a man named Agabus. Here's what it says, Acts 11:28. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit, now very clearly here, in reference to God the Holy Spirit. Do you know who he is? And the reason I say this is because, you know, I've read a lot of psychics. I've listened, you know, and seen. I have read probably everything I could on remote viewers. Anything new that comes out, videos and documentaries and, you know, even movies made about this issue. Because it's the field that it's, well, you know, me, I'm a researcher and I've got to get into everything, but I have to have a biblical grid. What is the Spirit of God showing in, you know, contemporary issues and what needs to be applied? It's kind of like Daniel chapter 1, when he really had to learn all the literature and learning of the Babylonians. Take a look sometime about Daniel. It's kind of the sense of my calling in an evangelistic sort of way. God the Holy Spirit. Now, I was reading Sylvia Brown's book and a couple of pieces of material and history on her. And in everything that I've read, she doesn't know Jesus. She doesn't know the Holy Spirit. She'll talk about Jesus and present a fake Antichrist Jesus that has nothing to do with the real Christ, the cross, and salvation. But I read about her spirit guide. She acknowledges a spirit guide guides her, leads her, gives her predictions, tells her, even helps her interpret scripture and all kinds of stuff. A spirit guide. At least she's honest about that factor, that a spirit guide, she names her, is guiding and directing and leading, and she's had this spirit guide when she was young. And well, we can go into a lot more of her in that, but a spirit guide. That's true of a lot of psychics that I've, you know, some that I've encountered personally. Let me tell you something. In all the remote viewers, and I say this with respect to human life, I say this with the approach that God so loved the world. See, I understand we are all sinners, man. We've all screwed up bad. But God so loved the world. See, that's my motivating factor. You know, I love you. I love people. I am motivated to bring what is the, listen, God's grace, God's mercy, God's salvation, indestructible immortality, healing. Listen, how could I not? How could I hold such a treasure and not do this, knowing that this is the all of heaven's presence, power, and force and work, is this one thing? If you're listening right now, you simply need to know God loves you, seeks you, wants you, and nobody could seek you more, want you more than God himself. And God is knowable. And the question is whether you know God or you don't know God. So I'm reading all the remote viewers and many others and all the new materials coming out, and I'm trying to read everything in my research and study to get an accurate view and engaging a few second-generation type remote viewers. Now, I haven't met anyone yet that testifies to God the Holy Spirit operating in their life. I haven't met, like, you could read the book of Acts, you can read the writers of Scripture, you can read the witnesses in a 30-year history, the book of Acts. You're going to see how they know, are guided by, are led by God the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit's all over them. You can see the Spirit-filled believers. And that is the testimony of all believers in Christ who have the Spirit of God. And I've said it again, and I'll say it now. Romans 8 says it very clearly. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. You cannot be a real, you know, you don't, listen, do you know the living Christ? Do you know God in personal relationship? See, that's what salvation is all about. The issue of forgiveness and God's love and the power of God and all the exchange that occurs at the concurrent moment of the miracle of salvation. Wow. It's just nothing like it. There's just, it all comes from heaven, born of the Spirit of God in Christ that cultivates in glorification, indestructible, irrevocable immortality, and seeing God face to face. Now, saying all of that, I'm just simply saying the Spirit of God I know there was a day in my life, literally the day before I came to Christ, I didn't know the Spirit of God. I heard about Jesus loves you, Russ. I heard that he has power. The Spirit of God can come into your life. He'll give you power. Because they knew that I was into other powers and dark powers and into seeking and searching anything spiritually that moved. But I was on the wrong trail, on the wrong tracks, headed in the wrong direction. But the day that man showed up, filled with the Spirit of God, I mean, just blew me away, literally. It did. And that was the night that when I went home, turned to the living Christ, believed on the living Christ, as was preached to me, as the Scripture says, and the Spirit of God instantly came into my life. So either the Spirit of God's on the outside, convicting, convincing, drawing you, and trying to bring you. That's the Spirit of God. That's what he's going to try to do. That's, you know, anybody who's, listen, for believers now, anybody who is Spirit-filled, every Spirit-filled believer in the book of Acts, they were out trying to lead everybody to Christ. That was one of the high evidences. They simply couldn't stop. They were out doing what the power of the Holy Spirit was all about. You check it out yourself. Every single one of them that were Spirit-filled were out winning and leading others to Jesus. Highways, byways, cities, anywhere they could go to find somebody. And literally by Acts chapter 5, verse 42, nothing could stop them. I hope nothing's stopping you. And if you've been stopped, don't you think it's time to get up? Don't you think it's time to get up? Listen, when Peter failed in spiritual warfare, when it all worked out and he came back and was restored and clothed with the Spirit of God, guess what? He became more powerful than ever before. So if you've stopped, why? And is it good enough reason? Is that what you're going to lay out at the judgment seat of Christ? I hope not. Believers in Christ, there's no question the Spirit of God summons you, take up the cross, get in the mission, be clothed with the power of the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God is behind all of the prophets, all the apostles, behind the inspiration of every single verse of Scripture, all of what we have. It's an amazing process. Behind the prophetic writings. That's why I'm going to say quickly right now that there are five things concerning God the Holy Spirit not seen in one iota of Nostradamus' predictions. Definitely not seen in one iota of Edgar Cayce and his predictions. Not seen. God the Holy Spirit is not seen in Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Celestine prophecies, prophecies at the Temple of Delphi, the Mayan prophecies, predictions coming through the New Age channelers, and psychic and New Age day prophets. In all those cases, you cannot find an experiential knowledge of or walking with God the Holy Spirit. They don't know him. So by what force are they predicting? By what presence are they predicting? We're going to talk about that. But I'm just bringing to you a picture in the book of Acts. Agabus. He stood up and through the Holy Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. Now look what the Scripture says. This happened during the reign of Claudius. It's historical. As a matter of fact, those believers that listened and heard, it is without question, they understood this came from the Spirit of God. So they, bearing witness to this, prepared. They, each according to their ability, decided to provide help for their brothers living in other places. So that immediate Holy Spirit-given prediction concerning what was going to happen over the entire Roman world, helped the believers in Christ prepare and get ready. So that's one of the issues when I'm telling you that predictive scripture involves redemption. It involves warning. It involves preparation. It involves giving you confidence. And so that's why it's vital that even now as a believer, we're listening to what the Holy Spirit says. I'm going to tell you, as a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit can speak to my heart about something coming up. There could be an immediate warning in the context of spiritual warfare, in the context of ministry events. I can get a sense of what the Spirit of God's going to open up, and if I really get what the Spirit of God is doing and begin to announce, or if I'm on the air right now and the Spirit of God gives me, a specific thing to say. And it's very clear that that happens. Many of you that have written have astounded me. You got to understand, the prayers that go up is simply through this 1 hour of a radio show, that the Spirit of God would give guidance and direction and not only bring application to you personally, but because tens of thousands of individuals in many, many nations of the world will download this very show later on, maybe even a month from now. And you know what? The Spirit of God knows that. This is where, again, we're talking about infinite presence, omniscience. And what can be put here and actually recorded, but be intended for somebody 30 days from now? It's pretty amazing to me. It really is. Now, I'm not giving you a particular prediction right at this moment. I'm not Abagus. I'm not a prophet. We're looking here in the book of Acts. There was a man named Abagus, and he did give the prediction. And it's very clear, the Spirit, the God, the Holy Spirit, predicted. Now, that's an amazing thing. And I'm going to show you a personal thing that occurred with Agabus also. And it's something I think all believers look forward to seeing and having happen. You check out Acts 21:11 in reference to Agabus, in reference directly to that same individual. Here's what it says: coming over to us. Now, he walked over, he took Paul's belt. The Apostle Paul was there. He's in mission. But all of a sudden, there were some prophets, and Agabus comes over. He comes right over. Now, listen, I'm going to share with you what is considered prophetic symbolism. And it may be that even in that first verse I gave you, chapter 11, verse 28, that there may have been some of that happening even then. But specifically here, in 21:11, here's what it says. He took Paul's belt, tied it around his own hands and feet. So you got to see Paul observing this. And then this is what the prophet says. Quote, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles." Paul talks about this, about how in every place he went, the Spirit of God was warning him about the coming hardships. That's why we have a course up on shatterthedarkness.net. Welcome new listeners. Welcome to those who are brand new. This is Russ Dizdar. Shatterthedarkness.net on the web. On the left-hand side, if you scroll down, you'll see where it says God the Holy Spirit. And you click on, and there's almost 25 hours of teaching on God the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you again, this is amazing because this involves prediction. This involves, on the one hand, for the entire body of Christ, in reference to something that's going to happen in a large, regional, multinational way, basically, that a severe famine was coming. How does Agabus know that? The Spirit of God signified it. And how does he know in a personal, some people call this a personal prophecy, a personal word. Over the years, this has happened many times. An old friend I haven't seen in years, Nikki Cruz. In years and years ago, in the decisions of leaving and moving in ministry, picking Nikki Cruz up from the airport, Nikki Cruz saw that I was burdened about something, asked me about it, made me sit in the front seat with the driver and sat in the back seat, and Nikki Cruz began to weep. And it began to pour out, and literally the same way Agabus did. The Holy Spirit says, and for an hour, it was as if God the Holy Spirit was pouring through Nikki Cruz to me about ministry, about what was going on. And one of my fellow pastor staff members were there. And I'm going to tell you right now that all that was spoken, all that was said that involved ministry movement, it involved the possibility of some really horrific things occurring that would affect the body of Christ in a large way. And decisions that need to be made that would prevent that. It was amazing. The Spirit of God gave a heads up and gave leading and gave guidance and gave insight that led to decisions that involved spiritual warfare that did stop the enemy from doing some really terrible, horrific things and gave guidance and direction. But it did involve paying a price. It did involve the concept of warning and what was going to happen when somebody has to choose the right thing, no matter what anybody else says. Nikki Cruz did not know that we were praying and fasting and looking for God to give a definitive word. Now, I've experienced that again and again and again, and I've experienced giving a definitive word, walking up. No, I'm not a prophet, but I have the Spirit of God in me, and in ministry meetings, and many times with other charismatic giftings inside of me, there have been times that a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or just the Holy Spirit saying. And when the Holy Spirit does that, then I'm going to listen. I trust the Holy Spirit's guiding in an overarching way during this 1 hour. An amazing way. People have gotten saved in other nations and come to Christ. People have, been pulled out of the New Age. Believers have been pulled out of being backslidden. Others have decided to thrust themselves into study and commitment and growth. And so we've been amazed at what God has done and demonstrated the fruitfulness. And so we come with a great commitment to faithfulness to God, but trust in the Holy Spirit. And I'm simply telling you right now, the Holy Spirit says. And this was a personal word for one individual. God cares about one individual. God cares about your individual life. You can seek the Lord and get a word from God. There are many times when I'm just seeking the Lord and God gives me a scripture verse and leads me to something. And I did that about 2 weeks ago about some really heavy sense of warfare during the ritual dates. And instantly God gave me, on one piece of paper, I wrote down God, and I put out a question, and I actually wrote it down. God, what is this? The Holy Spirit instantly gave me Psalm 83. Now, I shared that with my wife, didn't tell anybody else. A staff member I contacted later, a volunteer actually, shared with me that they've been praying for me for a number of days, and that God gave them Psalm 83. And right after that occurs, in the midst of praying and getting God's leading in kind of a spiritual battle, I get an email from somebody, maybe you're listening right now, where they had typed out the entire Psalm 83. Very big and very bold. Listen, when God the Holy Spirit gives you a verse, go with it. When there's a specific verse that God is speaking into you, it'll never be out of context. It'll never be contrary to the context. The Holy Spirit just doesn't go against his own word. So be, excited about the fact the Holy Spirit's operative, speaking, leading, guiding. The living word of God is God speaking always anyway. And maybe as you're listening, God will remind you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He said the Holy Spirit would remind us of everything we've learned. Hey, listen, the more you learn of the Word of God, the more content the Holy Spirit has to remind you and teach you and help you with. So many times, simply the Holy Spirit brings me a verse or leads me to a particular verse dealing with an immediate situation. But now in this case, as in times when I've been seeking the Lord, the Spirit of God, I know what it is for the Holy Spirit to say. The Holy Spirit says to me and speaks to my heart. I know what it is for God to speak into my heart, then pray, God, give me a, just give me a, you know, not just confirmation, but maybe through someone else too. And I've found that happening many times over all these years. And I'm sharing this today to say that among all the prediction, because listen, the world right now, there's millions and millions of people running on the fact of predictions they have, whether it's astrological, the Mayan prophecies, a spirit guide through Alice Bailey, or a spirit guide through Sylvia Brown. Whether it's through WebBot or, you know, even futurologists and the trends and the equations. We'll talk about that in a moment. I want to give you the five things quickly about prophetic revelation, what the Spirit of God has given, and for you and I to know that the Spirit of God can speak about a group, our local church, our region. He can also speak about your personal life. It can involve warning. It can involve leading. I mentioned last night about Acts chapter 8 when Philip was on the road that he was directed to go on. He simply quotes it. The Holy Spirit said, go stand over there by that chariot, where he led a high official to Christ. That man was reading the book of Isaiah. And so God coordinated a meeting. And I've had that happen so many times on the evangelistic field. God coordinating meetings. And so listen to the Spirit of God. Respect the Spirit of God. If you're a believer, know that you're a temple of the Spirit of God. Don't grieve Him. Don't quench His presence and power. Now, five things quickly again to remember concerning prophetic content, predictive content. Because I'm telling you right now that millions around the world are still looking at Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, and in 2011, I'm telling you right now, on a human level, this is a human level. On the one hand, on a human level, because of what I've read, what I see coming, the Mayan prophecies are going to come out in a bigger and broader way, layering the counterfeit Luciferic agenda. And I'm going to say this, I don't doubt if other ancient temple places are unearthed, bringing out ancient, buried, predictive material, but not from God. And that predictive material will add to layer this masquerade that levels the way for the coming Antichrist. Now, I talk about the Antichrist. I'm confident that he's coming. The false prophet, the abyss, Armageddon, confident about those things. See, I know that I will see the face. There will be a harpezo, a catching up, a glorification. I know I will have an indestructible, immortal body. I know that I shall see God face to face in the most extraordinary, deep love relationship. And face to face, the Word of God tells me that. There'll be a great white throne judgment. The demons know about that. The demons, it seems, they all know about that. It's predictive, prophetic content coming from the infinite, uncreated, eternal Spirit of God. There's a difference if it's coming from the Spirit of God. Now, in Agabus's case, whether you go back to Acts 11, that he was signifying and predicting by the Spirit of God the famine. Or here in Acts 21, when he demonstrates in a kind of prophetic symbolism the belt, and he gives a personal word about the future of the Apostle Paul. And it happened just like the Holy Spirit said. I'm going to tell you something right now. In all of biblical prophetic literature, the proof is in the pudding. And anything today, anybody who's literally guided by the Spirit of God giving any kind of predictive content, and I believe there'd be individuals just like Agabus that can do that. And I have met, like Nikki Cruz and others, many others, and those who have a personal word of prophecy, or simply someone comes to me and says, hey, the Holy Spirit told me, you know, shared with this with me, or the Holy Spirit showed me this about you. Now, that happens all the time. I'm around a lot of people that are deeply versed in that way. Charismatic giftings and so forth. But here's what I've learned. Predictions can come from the demonic realm as counterfeit and misleading. Predictions can come from somebody just, you know, in their own flesh, their own ideas, whatever else. And if it's their own ideas and they're placing it upon you as a prediction, well, then it's not really a prediction. It's just their opinion. And that's the danger, making sure that it's not an opinion. The good news about Agabus is that in both cases, he knew. And the second time, he says it this way. The Holy Spirit says. And the proof was in the pudding. And so if I'm doing ministry, and if I'm speaking on a... if I get a word, and the Holy Spirit says, I share that with individuals. But I sure don't try to manufacture it. I sure don't want to put an opinion into prophetic form. And you'll hear me say this. It is without question the Word of God says the Antichrist is coming. Now, my opinion, based on all of prophetic literature and the day that we're living in and all the things that I know, my opinion is that he's already been born, that he lives in Europe, that he's rising in the political ranks, and that the regime is there, and that it's all moving, and we're very, very close. But I don't have anything from the Holy Spirit to give you in a definitive sense. Now, there's what Paul says in Romans, my conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things. One of the big things, listen, the Spirit of God weighs on me heavy in this sense, urgency. Urgency. We live in a day where there's no time to play games. No time to just waste your life. Urgency. Because of the dark and dangerous things that are going to occur, because of the redemptive work of God that needs to occur, and your personal life, you're not just on the outside looking through a glass at all the scenery. If you're listening to this voice right now, the Spirit of God clearly, listen, you've got to know, as a believer in Christ, you and I are to be on the field of ministry. I will say again, if you've been stopped, how long will you allow that? If you're being lazy, oh man, how long will you allow that? I got to give you five things quickly here about prophetic on the scriptural level. The scripture, the grotha, the writings, prophetic writings. Read about this in Romans 16, 25, 26. Based on the prophetic writings, on the gospel, God's command, the command of the eternal God is that all nations would repent and believe in Christ. God's message to the United States, to Canada, to China, to Russia. If God opens a door to where I get to talk to statesmen, to kings or presidents, I will bring up this verse. The command of the eternal God is that your nation, you know, if King Juan Carlos ever listened to this, if Sarkozy ever listened to this, if Obama ever listened to this, this high authority, God, you can't get any higher, and based on prophetic writings and on the gospel, the redemption of God and his love for the world, God's commanding the nations turn to the living Christ. And that's a command from God. And leaders that would claim they know Christ would be and should be doing everything they can to lead their nations to Christ, to God. That's God's will. I'm not going to, you know, listen, I don't care what it looks like. Stand in the authority of the Word of God and in obedience to it and move forward. God doesn't bless your agenda that you come up with on your own out there. He blesses the agenda He has given. The Holy Spirit operates on and for the mission of God that you and I are to be a part of. So, five things about this on a scriptural level of prophetic revelation, this predictive content. The predictive content, number one, it is vast. It is massive. I mean, in the Old Testament, we have prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. Now, they gave local things, immediate things, individual things. They gave national things. They gave things about the immediate future, hundreds of years. And they also spoke, like Psalm 2, 3,000 years in advance, God's already speaking about Armageddon. He's already speaking about globalism. He's already given a warning. He's already telling us what the peoples and the nations and the kings will be conspiring together about. And God gives in advance, 3,000 years in advance, a powerful warning and a redemptive call to those leaders right now before it's too late. Now let me tell you something else. The predictive prophetic content of Scripture is massive and vast in the sense that it deals with everything, beginnings and endings and the sequence of everything. Let me give you number two. It is tested. Tested, tried, and true. That's why I say it is infallible and irrevocable. The hundreds of prophecies concerning the first visitation of God in Christ about Jerusalem, Nazareth, about Judas, about all that was going to occur, about the Messiah. Hundreds. In absolute detail, I would encourage you to read the Gospel of Matthew sometime and note how many times it'll say, and it has been fulfilled, or this is being fulfilled in the immediate sense. Even the prophecy out of Joel about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when that prophecy was fulfilled, Peter was able to stand up, Spirit-filled, and say, this contemporary event and occurrence from God is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. So I'm going to tell you right now, it is tested, it is accurate, it is detailed. It can be about national or global events. It can be about nations rising and falling. It can be about leaders coming and going. It can be about individuals. It's vast in the sense that we have it now in the New Testament. One-third of the New Testament is all about the future. If you want to gauge, listen, if a military strategist, if people really want to gauge, hey, what's going to happen in the future? How can I get in on what is really going to occur? Not speculation, not just trends, not just equations, not even just web-bought spiders accumulating emotional content and giving us what looks like pretty accurate stuff on a limited level, though. What we don't understand is that there is also the prediction that in the end of days, a vast array of seducing spirits will come with new teachings and predictive content to counterfeit everything that God is, everything that God has said, and everything that God is doing. Let me say the three areas. Everything that God is, everything that God has said, and everything that God is doing. The Spirit of God has said that is what the vast array of seducing spirits and the alternative spiritual work in the end of days. That's what's going to be going on. That's vast. 2,000 years ago, Timothy 4:1. The Spirit predicted, the Spirit of God predicted and told us about the finite, fallen, seducing, the Greek word planos, deceiving, imposters will come. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 24, about the number one thing to deal with in the end of days. Don't let anybody deceive you. Everything the New Testament predicts is the number one issue is massive spiritual deception on a multi-layered way. Signs, wonders, content, counterfeit predictions, everything coming out of the Mayan prophecies, I'm telling you now, and we'll lay this out in a month-long series coming up. I'm waiting, praying about when to release it. Everything coming out about the Mayan prophecies layers the deep-seated Luciferic agenda, the masquerade of it, and the reframing of what's going on. So we've got to take a look at that because we're looking at Didache of Daimonia. We're looking at demons inspiring predictive events. Do you believe that can happen? Can I read something to you? Let me read something to you. I'll tell you where it is in just a moment, but it says this. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, a girl, possessed. And this is simply the word echo that she had. She was gripped by, accompanied by, a spirit of divination, the Greek word python. She had now we're dealing with a finite spirit. An entity was in and on her. It's called Python here in the Greek, divination. Literally, by which she predicted future events. And you know what? You know what it teaches us here? I mean, here's what happens now. This is in Acts 16:16, when a team led by the Spirit of God was going into an area to share the gospel, led by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to read it. Listen to it again. They were once going to the place of prayer where we were met by the Greek word slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She was predicting the future on a finite level. Again, can you predict the future on human hunch? Yes, in a very minute way. I'm going to go over this in a moment, but here she's predicting the future by an operating presence that the Spirit of God warned in the last of days would come in massive, massive numbers. You know what it says about her? She earned a great deal of money for her owners by the fortune telling. She was literally a spiritual prostitute for men, making a lot of money as she gave predictions and predicted the future. People would come all around, they'd pay money. You know, I've been to coffee houses and places all over the place where there are readers and psychics, exactly the same thing. You come in, you lay money on the table, and you can go to a reader and invite, same thing. There are multinational corporations that are bringing in remote viewers to give insight on business and future issues. The issue is, by what power, by what force is anybody predicting the future? Now, when it comes to prophetic scripture, and I cannot imagine any psychic, any remote viewer, anybody interested in predictive content, not knowing. I mean, I hear talk shows all the time out there that talk about the coming of the Antichrist, though they don't want it to happen. Though they don't know the real Christ. See, they don't understand the reason for the Antichrist is because of the real Christ. Not only his first coming, but the second coming. If you don't know the reason why the Antichrist is coming, it's all because of the second coming. It involves the attempt to stop the second coming. Oh, do you understand? I mean, do you want proof? Mark it down, Revelation 19:19. Many of you that listen know that I'm going to say that again and again. And I'm writing a book called R19:19. I cannot believe how massively neglected that one verse is and the implications. But I would challenge remote viewers. I would challenge the psychics. I would challenge those who are into predictive content, 2012ers and others. Why aren't you looking at the most vast content of predictive material, biblical prophecy? Number two, it is tested and tried and true. All of, you know, hundreds of them, 100% accurate. There's no guesswork in it. It's definitive. You're dealing like in the book of Daniel with the fall of Babylon, the rise of Medo-Persia. You're in that fall, and then the Greeks, and then that divided up to four areas, and then the Romans. And you've got this incredible, I mean, there were liberals that thought, this can't be true. This had to have been written after the fact. It is so on target. It is so accurate, rational, secular in a sense, people that just simply didn't believe that God can do that were trying to take Daniel and rip it out of its history and say that it was written well after the fact. Well, that's been blown out of the waters again and again. It's written 600 years prior to Christ. And there's content in Daniel that refers to what's going on right now, the rise, the coming rise of the apocalypse of the Antichrist, and all the things that are going to go on. It talks about the abomination that causes desolation. Daniel is quoted by Jesus, you know, or the content anyway, in Matthew, and then the first chapter of the book of Revelation. The Spirit of God ties in old ancient prophecy with the contemporary, you know, as Jesus was there, and then later on, the last book of the Bible, literally, the book of Revelation. There it is. There is a piece of Daniel right there in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1. You got to read it. Check it out. It's incredible how the Spirit of God is able to connect all the dots. Did you think that the infinite, omniscient, omnipresent couldn't? See, there's a vast difference between the infinite. That's what I'm trying to say. On the concept of physics, on a spiritual level too, God being infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, this goes way beyond, well, Miko Kaku. Miko Kaku was on television the other day sharing about the everybody believes the missile that was shot in the air, and he's going through all this stuff, and I'm listening to Miku, and I'm saying, you know what? Is this a plant? You know, you're telling me that this is an airplane. I've been out to California. I've flown out of there 30, 35, almost 40 times. You know, I've gone off, you know, from Los Angeles out over the ocean and then, you know, coming back. And I've seen, you know, the contrails. You know what? The simplest thing is on all that missile stuff. What about the flight plan? If it was really a plane, the simple thing to do is check the flight plan. Nobody has. Still looks like a missile to me. Number three, selective. All the biblical prophetic content is selected by the Spirit of God. And we've been given the best of the best. We've been given the cutting edge of the cutting edge. We've been given the cream of the crop of predictive content of what's happening. Number four, it deals with what God's doing. It deals with what Satan is doing. And nobody on a finite level, not Webbot, not the trend seeker, you know, the trends, not the equations, not the human hunches, and definitely not finite spirits or old, ancient, demonically inspired, now unearthed prophecies. None of that can tell you what God is doing, what Satan is doing. It aids and lends more blanketing to the Luciferic agenda. I've said before that demonic counterfeit prophecy is, number one, a diversion. Number two, it's counterfeit to what God does. Number three, it's not really prophecy so much as it is a layering and a declaration of their agenda. It's what they're wanting to do. Number five, this content deals with heaven and hell and eternity and destiny. It is the ultimate. It is all about knowing God or not knowing God, about your destiny. It is vast. It is tested. It is selective. It is the only content, prophetic content, that could talk about what God is doing, what Satan is literally really doing, and what mankind will do. And it's there to be used for your redemption, to come to Christ, to know Christ, to have a warning before it ever occurs, to be able to prepare, and then fourthly, to give confidence to the believer about the end of days. I don't think any believer running around like a chicken with his head cut off understands the confident building power of biblical prophetic revelation in context to knowing God. It should build confidence. See, my only concern is for those who are lost. My concern is for the vast deception as never before in history, the vast destruction as never before in history, that will bring about eternal loss. That's the bottom line of why I'm here right now. And if you don't know the living Christ, my call, the Spirit of God's call, is come to the living Christ. God wants you to come. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as God and King and friend, and let Him come into your life. Let Him give you the Spirit of God. Let the forgiveness flow. Let the love of God flow. Let the healing flow. Let the new life come into your life. Let the gift of eternal life come into your life. How do you do that? Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I receive You. I accept You as Lord and Savior. Listen, all around us, human trends, hunches. There are things that people observe that, I'm looking at the football things this week, and I think that Minnesota will probably beat the Chicago Bears. Got to tell Derek Gilbert from PID Radio that. The equations that are out there, the weatherman tells me tomorrow it's 65 degrees, going to be sunny, nice. I'm planning on going to the woods. Technology webbot tells us a number of things that the world already feels. See, it's already in the air. There's a feeling of it. And that's a biblical thing too. What men, what the nations will be feeling and conspiring and the information and the gathering and what's going to come. Well, I'm now at the end of the show. The music is on, and just need to say, God bless you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Hey, remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. Good night. God bless.